Go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11, continuing our study through the book of Hebrews, and now coming to 11:8 through 22. We'll be reading that together in just a moment. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, the chapter of faith, talking about what biblical faith is, what real faith is, quite honestly, the only faith that matters. There's a lot of different ideas about faith today, but what we're talking about is the faith that is the trust in the living God, the faith that is this confident expectation in the living God to do what He says or what He has promised to do, to keep His word. We have this just rich passage of Hebrews 11. And the more that I personally look into it, the more that I'm encouraged, and certainly the more comes to light with me. And I think today we're going to see some things maybe a little bit differently than we're used to seeing as we consider what faith is. As we come to Abraham and some of the patriarchs and things, there's a stunning message in Hebrews 11 for each one of us today. Let's read it together, and let God speak to our hearts as we unpack this particular portion of Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from his one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are again very thankful for your word, thankful for this passage, this portion of scripture that's rich, these illustrations of faith. Help us, God, not to, again, just take this as an academic exercise and learning very interesting things, certainly, but rather, as it's intended for us today, that we would look into your word. We would see your will. We would see these incredible examples of godliness and faithfulness. And then we would let you change us from the inside out, and so that we could be pleasing to you and live the life that you have designed us to live by faith. Thank you, God, that this is your design for people, to live by faith, not to live by sight, not to just trust in the things that we can see, but to trust in you and that you are well pleased when we do. So help us today, God, in our endeavor to unpack this text, to be honest with ourselves, and to let you work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. By faith, the chapter of faith, we come to probably, at least in human terms, what we would think of as the pinnacle of faith or faithfulness. That's Abraham. Whenever you know, certainly, most of the time, at least, whenever you talk about faith, you're going to be talking about Abraham. Now, Abraham is mentioned all throughout the Scriptures, the patriarch Abraham. He was faithful, and he is an example to us of faith today. And it's a very good definition of faith in Hebrews 11:8 when it talks about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed. That is a great definition of faith right there. You have to unpack it a little bit to understand what the sentence means. But at its core, that's faith. God spoke. Abraham knew God's word, his will, and he obeyed. I like to think of faith as loving obedience. You love God, you obey God. You trust God. You know what he says is right for you. It's good. And so you obey him. That's what Abraham did here. He went by faith. He obeyed. He lived in the land of promise, verse 9 says. Think about this. Abraham, so you're Abraham, God calls you out of your home. He sends you out on a trip. You don't know where you're going to end up. You land over here in the promised land, and he says, God says, this is yours, live here. And then you look around and you say, you would have to say, at least from a human perspective, this isn't mine, right? And it says right in this text, he lived as a nomad. He had not yet inherited the land. God gave it to him, but it was a future promise. He was going to inherit the land. Interesting, that wasn't in his lifetime. But he had to live as a stranger. Think about that. What would that be like? This is one of the first things that God called Abraham to do, is to go out of his homeland, go into the promised land and live. This land is yours. It's yours. Live there. But when you live there, you're going to live there like a nomad. It's not really, you haven't inherited it yet. You have to live there by faith. You have to just wander around as a stranger. But God had promised, and so Abraham believed God. He lived like it was his. Right? He said, I haven't inherited the promises yet, but I'm going to live here because God told me to live here. Now look at verse 10 with me. How was he able to do that? By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. It says, 10, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is rich and key biblical principle for every one of us today as believers. For every one of us. I want you to think about it. How just truly impactful is this thinking of Abraham living in a promised land as a stranger and connecting the dots to you today? Think about it. God has made some promises to you, and as you come to Christ, you become his child, you're his, you have new life, you're born again, and he's promised you a wonderful heaven for eternity, and he's promised you that you will be made holy, but right now you're not, right? A lot of the promises of God for the Christian are future. They really are. We have to embrace them, and we have to look afar off that one day these promises of God, the rich life with him, the joyous life with him, the full, complete life in him. Now, we can be the beneficiary of that. Hey, Abraham had it pretty good when he lived in the promised land, didn't he? God blessed him. He had a lot of things. God took care of him, took his enemies out a lot of times. Same way for us, right? We can have the rich blessings in this life of pleasing God, but not always. And once as a believer, your focus gets somehow stuck or shifted or drifts over to that this life is really important to you, or it's all about this life, or you have to have the blessing in this life, or you're looking for just the pleasure or the riches of this life, you're off course and you're going to fail. Can I just say that to you this morning? You're going to fail. And the way that you're going to fail is you're going to be miserable. You're going to be looking for those things to fulfill you or to give you hope or comfort or whatever, and they're not designed for that. Because your hope is primarily, hear that this morning, a future hope. Primarily. We should have this mindset of Abraham, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await Wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. It's a huge issue for you today, believer. Where's your home? What's most important to you? Where is all your hope? If you had baskets up here of hope, where's your hope? Is your hope in this life? Is it fix my circumstances, give me the things that I want, change the people in my life, take this pressure off, take the difficulties out of the way? If it is, you're in trouble. Had a phone call last day at camp. My mom's cancer has returned. Well, praise God. Praise God. Why? My mom's going to die. You know that? She may not die from this cancer, but she is going to die. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that I will be in heaven with my mom for eternity. Right? It doesn't matter the timing. It's up to God. And we're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for God to take care of her, maybe even to heal her this time. Prognosis looks pretty good. But if my hope is that my mom must live, I'm in trouble. There's going to be a time when my mom is going to pass from this world. It is going to happen. Every person in this world dies. It's the same for us today. Where is your hope? What are you living for? Are you living for this life and the pleasures and the comforts of this life? That's what it means to live by faith. That's living by sight. God's got to bless me. God has to show Himself. God has to do this for me. God, fix this situation. God, that's living by sight. That's not living by faith. Living by faith is when you don't see the intended end and you trust God anyway. That's what Abraham did. He didn't, this life, and think about all the things that Abraham had, those things were just not that important to Abraham. Abraham knew the truth that he had a heavenly city that he was looking forward to. Things he couldn't see or hold. He had to live like a pilgrim and a nomad and things in the promised land. Because the things that God had for him, God has for you. Those unseen, eternal things of far superior value. And we're going to even talk about a little of those superior unseen things today that are eternal, but you can lay hold of them today, a little bit later here. By faith, Abraham, in verse 17, if you'll skip down the page, and we'll come back to this earlier part. We're just sticking to Abraham here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. This is much later in the game now, in Abraham's life. This writer of Hebrews is touching on these two major points, kind of interesting. But there's a lot that God did, gave Abraham opportunities to live by faith. But this time, this is the one, isn't it? You can find this in Genesis 22, and we'll probably read that here in a minute. But this is it, isn't it? God says, Abraham, and please just get that of Abraham's life, right? God keeps telling Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to do it. All the nations of the world are going to be blessed through you. And Abraham sees God working things and doing things and changing things and fixing things and helping him and growing Abraham's faith as he sees God's faithfulness. But Abraham just has to keep scratching his head, right? You get to your 60th birthday, you don't have any kids. You get a little worried, right? Huh? How are you going to bless everyone through me? I don't have a kid. You get to your 70th birthday. Now you're really concerned. Right? You get to your 80th birthday. Now what do you do? Right? You ready to have kids? You get to your 90th birthday. Huh? Now it's serious. Right? Huh? What do you do? You get to your 100th birthday. Almost. He's 100 when he had him. Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have some kids, right? When I'm 100. No. And then God is faithful. And they didn't, you know, the part where he, you get that? Isn't that amazing? The scriptures are so rich. Abraham falls on his face, because he has to, because he's confronted with the holiness of God, and he's laughing. Right? Isn't that stunning? He falls on his face because of the holiness of God, and he's laughing. Part that Jerry read this morning. 100, really, God? Sarah is 90, really? We're going to have kids? Oh, that Ishmael would live before you. Right? You can't do it, God. Isn't that what he's saying? God does it. You know what happened in Abraham's heart when that happened? He was overwhelmed by the glory of God. Because as soon as God in Genesis 22 said, I want you to take your only son, the son of promise, the one that you didn't think that you could ever have, the one that you had when you were 100 years old, I want you to take this very son, I want you to take him up on Mount Moriah, and I want you to give him to me as a sacrifice. And Abraham went. Wow. Now that is what faith is. He's the son of promise because Abraham had seen God do these amazing things. If he killed him, God could take care of it. Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Skip down the page a little bit. Verse 10, they build the altar, they get the wood in place. Verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was serious about it. He was serious about obeying God. God told him what to do, and he went. Think about what was going on in Abraham's heart at that time. Your only son whom you love. The only son, the one that you have been looking forward to all your life that I promised to give you, give him back to me. What was going on in his heart? It had to be terrible. What was going on in his mind? How in the world is this possible? This is the son of promise. This is my heir. This is the one that's going to give me all these descendants. As the sand of the sea, ever picked up a handful of sand? Could you count it? As all the sand of the sea, that's how many descendants of Abraham. How is this possible? But Abraham believed God. He put his belief into action. Verse 18 of Hebrews 11 says it like this: in whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So this is the one that he had to slay. Concluding in 19 that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, in which he received him in a figure of sense. In other words, Abraham was serious about it. Isaac was dead to him, but God gave him back. In a figurative sense, he raised him from the dead. God gave him back. Here's the point, though. Abraham was serious about obeying God. His faith was on the line when the chips were down, and he acted. He took action. He put what he said, he confessed that he believed, and when the chips were down, when things were the hardest ever in his life, he acted in accordance with that faith. Verse 11, God intervened, praise the Lord. That's what he does. The angel of the Lord called from heaven, Genesis 22:11. And said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son. And we have the following couple verses there of the beautiful picture of the substitute sacrifice, where Abraham looked and there was the ram. As we sang, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Helping us to remember that God works through our faithfulness, and God is always 100% faithful, that God will provide a substitute sacrifice, putting us all the way forward to his only begotten son, Jesus, who died as a substitute sacrifice for you. Abraham, by faith, I offered up Isaac. He trusted God when it was inconceivable to do so. 11, Sarah. By faith, Sarah received the strength when she received to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She's another example of faithfulness. 90 years old, well past the childbearing age, she believed that God would do it. You ever think about that? How old were Sarah and Abraham when Isaac graduated high school? Now, they were homeschooled, so it was a little earlier than normal. Think about that. Isn't that something? She was well past childbirth. Verse 12 of Hebrews said, from him who was as good as dead. Right? I mean, this is inconceivable. But she trusted and believed God, and he was faithful. God responded to her faith. And verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive when she bore a child, when she was well past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you see that? And therefore, from one man as good as dead were born as many as the stars and multitudes, as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. But God honored her faith, and God was faithful. That's the way God has designed the world to work, life to work today. So biblical faith is. Next example is Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, verses 20 through 22. The first one is Isaac, which you'll find there in verse 20. We need to go kind of quickly through these. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning, again, things to come. As you can find this account in Genesis 27, Isaac was old. He was about to die. There's a lot of interesting things here. At one point, not too far before this, Jacob had deceived his brother into getting the inheritance. And he had sold him his birthright for a small morsel of food, a bowl of chili or something, you know. And now this, what he's talking about here is just a little later, right before Isaac dies, Jacob once again deceived his father and got not only the inheritance, but also Esau's blessing. Then Isaac ends up giving Esau a different blessing. Didn't make Esau happy. Wasn't the blessing he was looking for. And he got very angry with his brother. And there's all kinds of really interesting things there. We may be studying Genesis next year. We'll cover that a little more in depth when we ever do that. The point is this. Look at verse 20 again. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Things to come. The blessing that Isaac gave the boys was a future blessing. It was according to God's promise to Abraham. It was a future promise. It was Isaac by faith saying, God will keep his promise to our family. And that promise is ultimately Messiah, is what that was looking forward to. Through you, through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Verse 21, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, this is very interesting. This is in Genesis 48. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But Jacob actually blessed Joseph's sons before the rest of the 11. Don't know why he did that particularly out of order. He also blessed Joseph's two sons and gave them, he kind of adopted them as his own. He gave them a full portion of inheritance instead of half of a portion each. He also blessed Ephraim before Manasseh, who was older. And Joseph wasn't happy about that, but he said, no, that's the way it is. That's what I have done. Now think about old Jacob there as he was doing this, as he was blessing the boys right before he died there. What had he seen in his life? Man, he had witnessed himself try to manipulate his situation, manipulate life, and God intervene. He had seen times when he was utterly helpless to do anything, and God intervene. He had seen God take them from an impossible situation where his son was lost to him and the world was filled with drought where everyone would have died, and God intervene and provide and save the family and save really the whole world right there. Think about it. That was really the cradle of civilization that they lived in, that 7-year drought. How many people's lives were spared because of Joseph's faithfulness there? Jacob had witnessed all of this, God working. He had seen the goodness and power of God, and he blessed the boys with a future blessing, reminding them that God was faithful. Joseph, in verse 22, the next example, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones, that God had given them the promise then that they were going to go back into it. And he said to them, I'm dying, but God will be faithful to his promise. He's going to take you into that land, and I want my bones to be taken there. Make sure you do it. See, he could have said, well, I guess it's over. I'm dead. Throw me in a pyramid. I'll be in New York City on display sometime. He didn't do that. said, I want you to take my bones with God's people into God's land because he's going to restore. He's going to give us the promised land. He's going to keep his promise. He's going to pull us up out of this place. And find that account there of Joseph telling them that in Genesis verse 50, 24 through 26. The point is that Joseph trusted God to keep his word. He would deliver his people. And think about that. When they were alive, you know, if you would have said to the Israelites in Joseph's day, hey, God is going to deliver you from Egypt. You know what they would have said? Deliver us? Thanks. This is the greatest place we've ever lived. Why would he deliver us? We're blessed. We have all this. We have all this stuff. We've got all this protection. It's a wonderful place to live. We don't need delivered. But God, Joseph knew that they would. That God was going to take them out of Egypt and he was going to take them back into the promised land. They would return there one day. And that's really what the essence of faith is this trust in the promises of God. Now, let's get to the part. And these examples, they're just rich, aren't they? It's just beautiful. People who took God at his word, put it into practice, whatever small steps they may have taken, failed some, trusted God. God blessed them. God grew their faith, gave them harder things to do. They trusted God. God grew their faith, and they just continued to grow in knowing and loving and trusting in the good God. But think about this. Look at verse 13 with me, though. Look at this. Look at what it says here, because this is really what this portion of Scripture is all about. This 13 through 22, this is what it's all about. These all died in faith. That's the point of this entire chunk right here. None of these people received the promise. None of them saw the Messiah. None of them even got to see the children of Israel taking possession of the promised land. Not a one of them. They all died in faith. Every one of them are examples of people who were dying, right? Even old Isaac, as Abraham comes out with a knife, death is mentioned. He received him back. It's from the dead. He was at the end, man. He could have just slashed him. It would have been over. Abraham, when he was dying. Jacob, when he was dying. Isaac, when he was dying. Joseph, when he was dying. They gave instruction concerning his bones. Think about it. They all died. Does that encourage you today? Okay, you were faithful, here's your trust in God, and you died. Despite their circumstances, they trusted God. Despite Abraham being as good as dead, he trusted God. Despite the fact that Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were all dying, they gave dying blessings that were a future blessing concerning the promises of God. These all died in faith. Real faith, true faith, biblical faith, not the generic junk. We're just really trying to avoid that. Not the generic junk that's thrown around as faith out there today, but true faith that is faith in the living God, biblical faith, is best measured when the chips are down. It's easy to trust God when you're, 25 years old and you're plowing through life and everything is going smooth and everything's great and it's looking up. What's it like to trust God when you're 70 and sick? What's it like when someone that you love is dying? What's it like to trust God when you're at a point in your life when it's been hard for a long time and the people are the ones that are hardest to love and are the meanest to you? And you just look and you're just overwhelmed and you think, how could this be? I'm trying to please God. I love God. I want to live for him. How can my life be so difficult? What's it like to trust God at that time? That's where faith is truly measured. Are you going to trust God? When it gets hard, when the chips are down, when it hurts to trust God? Now, if we're going to be logical this morning, I would just challenge you with this. Who else are you going to trust? Right? You going to get it done yourself? Oh, it's so hard, I'm going to do it. God, you sit over there, I'll take care of it. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? You've never been able to fix or change anything like that, ever, and you never will be able to, right? Only God can. But we're so feeble. We want to, I've got to get my hands around it. If I could just see this, if I could just have this, if this would just work together, if this would just change, if I could just make things happen. And God just keeps calling us to faith, to trust Him, especially when the chips are down, especially when it's difficult. And look at why they were able to do this morning. We'll come back to that, the importance of that here in a minute. But look at why. Read this rich passage in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Get this with me this morning, church. These people had a different mindset than normal human people are prone to have. They had a future, an eternal mindset. They were trusting in the things that God said and not the things that they could see with their eyes. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. That wasn't the point. But now, in 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Now get this, wow, for a wow verse. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Now my mind's a little bit twisted in this way, so whenever I see things like that, I think this immediately. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. That's in there for a reason. Well, if there's a therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, there must also be a therefore God is ashamed to be called their God in certain cases. How important is this morning as we think about living by faith? Philippians 3, 17 through 21. Notice the difference in the mindset of the people that live by faith and the people that don't. Brethren, this is that one we read a little earlier, but the fuller passage of it. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Reminds me of the Hall of Faith, right? How about you? For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. What does it mean to not live by faith? Your God is your belly. You set your mind on earthly things. Your hope is here. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. That's what it means to have an eternal mindset. Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, Paul said in verse 27. It takes a radical change of mindset, of focus, and can I say this morning, goal, to live by faith. How can you tell what your goal is? You can tell by the way you respond when you don't get what you want. Think about what Abraham could have done. Abraham, I've given you Isaac, but you know what? I want you to go up and sacrifice him. Oh, come on, God. Really? I waited 100 years. Right? He could have. He didn't. He said, all right, I don't know how you're going to do this because you have to keep your promise. You're God, right? You cannot lie. You have to. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I will obey. Wow. He could have said, yeah, but wait a minute here. I mean, come on, God, you know, Isaac is the son of promise. I mean, do you really mean that? Do you really want me to do that, God? He didn't. Maybe you meant something else. Could you repeat that? Moses did that, right? That's not what he did. He got up, got the donkey, got his helpers, cut the wood, loaded it up, took the fire, went to Mount Moriah, got the knife out, put his son up there. And he was serious. God intervened. Praise God. Are you going to trust God when the chips are down? Are you going to set your goal on having things your way in this life? Can I just tell you this morning? Can I just plead with you this morning as I plead with myself? That life is hollow. You're not going to be satisfied. Think about this with me. This is amazing. Life is difficult a lot of times. I mean, let's just face it. Man, there's stuff that happens here. It is just hard to chew on. Right? Maybe some of you are here, you know, life hasn't been that hard for you. I get that. That's okay. Stick around a while, is all I would say to you. All right? And it comes. I don't mean that flippantly. I mean, it just seems like there'll be times. It's hard. But humanly, our tendency is so much just to run from the pressure, to run from the heat, to run from the trial, to try to mitigate the problem, to get the pain off, to run from the pressure. And our hope is just so fixed on the temporal fixing of the thing that upsets us. And our own running causes more and more strife. Isn't that interesting? And Hebrews 11:6 comes blazing through the chaos of life and tells us this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I would say to you this morning that when life gets difficult, when things are hard to trust, get your eyes open and your ears open, get your mindset on the things of God and say, praise God, He's given me an opportunity to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I now have an opportunity to please God that I did not have before this. Wow. The Creator of the universe loves me enough to let something into my life that's hard for me to take, because then I can respond by faith. And as I respond by faith, God is pleased. As God is pleased, the Creator of the universe looks down on my life and says, I delight in you. Whoa. Wow. Really? Do you really this morning, do the math with me, do you really this morning want to set aside an opportunity for the Creator of the universe to delight in you for a little relief? That's hard, right? That's hard. But isn't that true? It's absolutely true. That's what life is all about. That's what faith is. 2 Corinthians 5, if we could just take a few more minutes. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Oh, enjoy this today. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. God, fix this junk. Get me out of here. I mean, let's be honest. We can groan like that. If indeed we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Do you see how it works together? That's what faith is. It's looking at life differently. It's understanding that the things that we're so concerned about here are just not that important. Sometimes, most of the time, probably. The things that we war and fight and hurt each other over, really, is it going to matter in 2,000 years? Is it going to matter in 500 years? Are you going to care 2 months from now? Do you see? We have such an amazing hope in Christ. And as we get this, as we get on God's plan for our lives, as we embrace the trials that He lets come into our lives, and we say, yes, I will count it all joy when I fall into various trials. Yes, I will, because I can see God working in my life and I can please Him. When we see that, life becomes much easier to live. It becomes much simpler to live. Because instead of wanting your goals and your desires and trying to find out how you can get that and being so torn up about it and having so much turmoil trying to fix things and change things and do things and make people into what you want them to be, you can rest in the sovereignty of God and rest in pleasing Him. Come to me, all who are weary and laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is what Jesus said. That rest comes in this confident expectation in the Creator of the universe that He is sovereign and able to do what He promises, and that He is good. He will keep His promise. He knows what you need. By faith. Just as we wrap up today, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Praise God for that. Real faith is a confident expectation that the God of the universe will be true to His word and able to keep it. It's trusting in the living God when the chips are down. We live by faith, not by sight. We have to trust God. Trust that God's ways are best for you. He knows what He's doing, and He is faithful. Hear this, live by God's word rather than by your changing feelings. I can't say that strongly enough this morning. Live by God's word rather than by your changing feelings. I'm not saying that feelings aren't legitimate sometimes, but when feelings rule you, you will not live by faith. Live by what God says and don't let your feelings rule you. Trust in the fulfillment, the future fulfillment of God's promises. That's what these people today did. And live for the glory of God. Think about the difference there. You know, you can look at it humanly and say, these all died in faith and say, oh, great. Right? Oh, they had faith, they died, yay. Or you could say it like this. They all died in faith. That's pretty good, right? Because there's only two ways to die, in faith or out of faith. And they're really glad today that they died in faith, aren't they? They're not nearly as concerned about the problems and trials and all the stuff that they had at all. Probably didn't even cross anyone's mind now. They're just like, yes, praise God, yeah, what a great opportunity I had to live for Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, by faith, in verse 2, the elders obtained a good testimony. That's available for you today. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to grow you. He wants to give you opportunities to change and grow, to trust Him more, to see Him work, to let Him be God in your life. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the opportunity to please you that you give every one of us very often, sometimes when it's incredibly difficult. Life can be full of those stresses and trials. And I certainly don't want my mom to go home to you yet, but whatever your will is, help us in our weakness, God. Help us to be more joyful when we don't get our way, when things are legitimately hard to deal with. Oh God, help us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. In life, your people of all people would have hearts overflowing with joy, that we would be filled with your fullness, that we would be trusting in you every day and being at rest in you, loving you, looking forward to the promise, not as worried or concerned about what you may or may not do with us in this life, letting you be God, letting you lead us, letting you change things, letting you stretch us. You know our humanity, God. Jesus walked with us. You know what it's like to be tempted. You know what we face. Thank you for that as well. God, may we each day know you more because you are faithful and you love us that much to be at work in our lives, oh God. Help us in our weakness and encourage us every day as we seek you and we see your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.